Best-selling author Mary Randolph Carter is back at it with a full-throated celebration of junk and thrifting. Her new book, The Joy of Junk, shows us how to live stylishly and creatively with the personally meaningful objects that we love to collect for our homes. Mary says, quote-unquote, junk is not a four-letter word. She has years of experience as a passionate thrifter and collector. In the book, Carter highlights her favorite junking moments, revels in the thrill of the hunt, and imparts many personal tips for finding treasures in flea markets, yard sales, estate sales, shops, on the web, and wherever you may find yourself. It is a great pleasure to welcome Mary Randolph Carter to the program. She will be at the Oblong Books White Hart. Is that right? Are you still going to be, you're at White Hart on December 9th, right?
Actually, yes, December 9th, Sunday, December the 9th. I just wrote down November and I realized we're past that. Yes, Sunday, December the 9th at 3 p.m. at the White Hart in Salisbury. Oblong Books.
This
yes.
was scheduled and then canceled, and then
our weather
will do that.
Crazy.
And then you were supposed to be on the show, and then I had a kidney stone, and then there you go. So I welcome you.
It's
to the
a perfect storm, but here we are.
Well,
we're here, and we're joyfully exclaiming about junk.
I love junk. I love this book. I want my wife to read it. I read the sections to her actually. It is before we get into this subject. Let me just work off the. Well, we will get into the subject right away, but the work off just the introduction here. What do you think it is about? I just said the sentence, Mary says junk is not a four-letter word. What is it in us that so many people think it is a four-letter word?
I remember once when I published, because I've done a series of junk books when I first started. I did garden junk and kitchen junk and American junk, and I was down at the 26th Street Flea Market in Manhattan, like peddling my book, and people would kind of go by and sneer. Ooh, junk. Yeah, it was. I mean, people think of junk as basically trash, you know, something that doesn't count, something that would be in a closet or a drawer or a shed, and we've got to get rid of it. And I don't feel that. I've always felt that. I use the word junk because it kind of like stops people in their tracks, and it is one of those funny four-letter words that I revere. But it's through the eye of the beholder, I feel, Joe. It's everything is through the eye of the beholder. And I had a mother that just the mother of nine kids, and she was always finding ways to reinvent very simple, beautiful objects that someone else might have just thought, I don't need this. So I've always been hunting and looking for things in thrift shops and yard sales and, God forbid, driving down the road and seeing, free, stop, pick this up. And I even created a bumper sticker that says, I break for junk, to sort of warn those poor, unsuspecting drivers behind me that I might pull off any minute because I've seen something that makes my heart beat. So I think people are kind of getting it now, you know. There's been such a resurgence in hunting for one of a kind things, call it junk, call it treasure, call it flea market stuff, call it stuff. I think people are looking for ways to express themselves. There's also there's the recycling element of that. You know, you're taking something instead of buying a new grill to cook your hamburgers on. Hey, maybe I can find one that's been put out on the, you know, on the curb, and I can recycle it. So I think there's so many levels that have made the hunt exciting for people now, and make us joyful.
I
called it the joy of junk because of all the collectors, and many of them in the region that you're broadcasting to. No matter what I ask them. Bunny Williams, John Roselli, great decorators, Mike Wolf on American Pickers, a really diverse group. And I said, why? Why do you do this? What is it? And they said, because it makes me smile, because it's fun, because it makes me joyful.
So let us, first of all, you mentioned the bumper sticker. You have a bumper sticker in the book. You get one with when you get the book. That's very cool.
I thought that would be a nice little bonus
very
for people
nice.
That pick up the book.
I like that.
There's an eye break for junk bumper sticker in the book.
Now, so talk to me for a moment about the difference between looking for something that perhaps is junk that you want to put on a mantle or on a table or to repurpose in some way, shape, or form versus the work of a collector, of somebody who is looking for many different versions of the same object.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think there's something about, I've always said more is better, unfortunately, for my husband and family.
Yeah.
So I think they're, I think a true collector would describe themselves as someone that that's very, like, let's say, a collector of shaker furniture. Okay, that's a pretty important historic kind of furniture with an artisan history, and they're looking for something that has provenance, that they can prove that this was done by Elias, you know, Smith in the 18th century. I think true collectors of that ilk, you know, to me, that can get a little suffocating. I had a conversion from being that kind of, let's say, a more self-important collector to the day that I walked into a thrift shop in Millerton, New York, called the Rummage Shop. And I'd passed it a million times, and I said, what could possibly speak to me among the detritus and abandoned goods of all these people, you know, the pots and pans and the thrift shop paintings, until I walked in and sidled my way through all of this clutter and came out with three loads that cost me like $11.84 with this big smile on my face. And I realized that, you know, I'd gotten too serious about my collecting. And if I found something that either was purposeful, like, hey, I really did need a new crock pot or a new lamp, or just something fanciful, you know, like a little Infant of Prague statue, which I collect, that could add to a collection that I already had, then it was okay. It didn't have to have a provenance. It didn't have to have, you know, it didn't have to be the royalty of something. It's about the worth of the worthless. It's about if it speaks to you, if you love it, then you give it value. That's the way I feel.
Yeah, if you love it and you give it value. That brings me to a question that I think people who do, I mean, obviously you do it much more than the average person, I would say, but a lot of us go out and we look for cool things and we're always on the hunt for something. And there is a narrative out there that, well, you know, now everything is considered, you know, in the good old days, you could go into a thrift store and you could find something that was, you know, one of a kind and mm-hmm. maybe valuable, maybe not valuable, but something that was just an outrageous, amazing find. And now mm-hmm. that's much harder to do. Everybody thinks that it has a high price tag to it with eBay and all of these other ways of collecting. It makes it a lot more difficult. I don't know that I necessarily agree with that because I find all kinds of cool stuff to buy. I'm curious of your thoughts on it.
Well, I'm with you. I mean, I think, you know, if you have a place for it in your heart, you're going to find it, and then you'll find a place for it in your home. But no, I would say by and large, everything is more difficult, more competitive. You know, a lot of the shops and dealers, like I was a pioneer hunting in Hudson, New York years ago, and now now it's gotten, I mean, there's still cool places, but you know, it takes the joy out of it because I'm not looking for something to spend $1,000 for.
Right.
I want to find a great original painting that I could buy for $5, you know, instead of putting a poster on my wall. So I think it is more difficult. I do occasionally, I have a son that just got married, and I was searching for lots of vintage brass candlesticks, and I was in a hurry to find them. So there is something great about going online to Etsy or eBay, and you can find, you know, lots of things. But there's nothing for me, you know, that is as exciting as going into a real yard sale or flea market and seeing an old cardboard box and like opening it up and searching through and finding something and holding it in your hands. So, you know, like I couldn't read a book on my iPhone. I have to hold the old tattered book in my hand. So I guess I'm old school in that way, but yes, things are harder. But I was at the Rose Bowl Flea Market in Pasadena doing this book, and some of the old-time vendors said to me, there's a whole other group of younger people that are coming and looking for something personal and one of a kind. And so I feel there's a real uptick in this whole thing, and I think it may be harder, but I think you'll be rewarded when you're standing in front of it and you have a big, joyful smile on your face.
Does it get better than that? Mary Randolph Carter's new book is The Joy of Jung. She will be at the White Hart Inn in Salisbury, Connecticut, Sunday, December 9th at 3 p.m. Sunday, December 9th at 3 p.m. Links to more information will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. The book is The Joy of Junk. Mary Randolph Carter, a pleasure. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks so much. Let's go junking.
All right. Sounds good. I break for junk as well. Mary, thank you. You're
Take
listening
care.
To The Roundtable on WAMC.